Pine, turn me to the book of Exodus. How many of you got your Bibles? Hold them up. Right kind, it'll count. Book of Exodus, please. Find your place in Exodus, and we'll start reading just a moment in chapter 17. Well, I appreciate going out today. We and Brother Don and his wife, we had a good time. I think he's about ready to throw us out of the restaurant. Of course, we had Noble with us. That's enough to throw you out. Amen. I'm in the book of Exodus, please. Chapter 7. What did I say? Exodus chapter 17. Please do this for me. I want you to pray for my boy. Pray for David. But I go back to the doctor, I believe, the 12th. I don't know what the day is. Day 6, 7th. What is day? So I go back to the doctor, and I'm hoping that he'll cut me loose. See, I've never stopped preaching. I always preach every weekend somewhere. Somewhere I preach every weekend. And I stay so booked up, but I've had to move so many meetings around. And Lord willing, if he cuts me loose, I can't go to the Carolinas, I can't go to Alabama, can't go to Florida, none of those meetings. He don't want me driving long distances. Well, I understand why. Hey, let me tell y'all a little, share this. If I ask y'all why, my doctor told me after I had this surgery, he said, I do not want you sitting, I don't want you driving, and he said, I don't want you sitting in the passenger side. I said, why? He said, get in the back seat. I said, in other words, so you want my wife to drive? I said, you want her to chauffeur me? Yeah. I said, well, why? Would y'all like to know why he wanted me to sit in the back seat? I never thought about it. He said, if you have a wreck and that airbag goes off, he said, you're out of here. Well, I said, well, thank you for being so blunt. You're out of here. Ain't that pitiful? Just, you're out of here. But honestly, if when a heart patient, if the airbag goes off and hits you in the chest, you're out. You're gone. So he wants to be sitting in the back seat. So I went back up and they did all these x-rays on me, Larry. They're going to put this stent in. I'm laying there watching them go up through here. I said, what's that? He said, wire. I said, what? I said, you left wire inside of me? He said, that's what's holding you together. That and super glue. Can you believe that? That crazy doctor told me he super glued me together. I said, we're going to send you back to Texas. But honestly, you can see them places where they twist the wires, just like you take a loaf of bread. Is anybody here at all? Just like you take a loaf of bread, them twisters, Miss Betty, and you can see the thing where they twist it together. I said, I'm wired together. Naturally, my wife lives. I'm wired together. I'm in Exodus, please, chapter 17. But what I want you to do is pray that the doctor will turn me loose. I've been going to one church for 29 years of my life in Black Mountain, North Carolina. I'm there every year of my life, have been for 29 years of my life, and I don't want to miss this year. I'd like to go if it's Lord willing to let me go. And I'm going to be at the Indians again. I've been with them, I think, 31 years every year of my life. Yeah. Have to think a minute. I was with them before I ever quit pastoring. So I've been with the Indians probably 30, if he can keep it all up. I don't want to miss being with them. Now, the Lord may work, he may change my plans. Y'all understand that? But I sure would like to get back to a full schedule, and I've been blessed to the Lord to have a full schedule, but if he don't turn me loose, I may slip off. I have been known to do that. I'm in Exodus, please. Read with me in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Ready? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and he fought with Amalek and Moses and Aaron and Hur, and they went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Now watch, the one on one side, and the other on the other side. His hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek. Now watch, from generation to generation. Our Father, we love you and thank you, Lord, for the word of God that's forever settled in heaven. Lord, what a joy, Lord, it is to be with grace, and I pray you'd help us. Lord, may we see that the fields are white unto harvest, Lord, and the labors are few. Lord, I pray for that young missionary and his wife that was here this morning. Lord, I pray they want to be a missionary to the service people. Lord, I know and realize in all that's within me, God, please help us to run our race and finish our course. Help these dear men of God is my prayer. Bless every God-called preacher tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, in Exodus chapter 17, you need to get this down in your mind. And once you get it down in your mind, the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. It's not just a book. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Now, when you get that down fixed in your mind, and you start reading Exodus chapter 17, and you read chapter 18, chapter 19, you get over to the book of Chronicles, book of Numbers, and you get to thinking, and you read these things, and see, I am so naive that I believe everything is for our purpose. I believe that. Now, before I get into this, I want you to turn to the New Testament and put your fingers to the book of 1 Corinthians. And Lord willing, I'll come there and I'll close out tonight in that chapter, in the book of 1 Corinthians. But in Exodus chapter 17, we find one of the most unusual stories in the Word of God. It's Aaron and Hur. And you find a man by the name of Moses. Well, when you read your Bible, when you read this, Moses was a great leader in Exodus 17. And then you find a Joshua. He was this great warrior. But then when you get down to Aaron, he was a great high priest. We know that. But in this chapter, what I want you to see is God used this, and he used two men by the name of Aaron and Hur. Now, I want you to write this somewhere on the flyleaf of your Bible. Write it on there. That's the first time you'll ever find the word Hur mentioned in the Bible. That's in verses 12. You don't find him mentioned but twice in the whole entirety of the Bible by this man by the name of Hur. Well, I know it's dangerous for me to think. We're living in a day and time when we talk about role models and we talk about heroes and we talk about... how many of y'all remember just as recently this pilot that landed the flight? Was it New York? Was it New York? I went down and what was his name? The captain. What was his name? Scully. Wasn't that right? Am I saying it right, Scully? Everybody was talking about him being a hero. Am I right? Well, he saved all those people's lives. He didn't panic. And landed that plane and saved all those people's lives. Well, here's what I want to show you now. Everybody loves a hero. Well, now, I want you to watch this. Look in your Bible. In Exodus chapter 17, these men come on the scene by the name of Aaron and Hur. In Exodus 17. What I want to preach tonight is everybody loves a hero. Now, what do you mean, preacher? When I was a boy, it ain't like it is now. Our heroes is what I call, and I still have a lot of admiration in my heart for soldiers. Hey, do y'all remember the first time you ever seen a man in a uniform? I'm talking about military. Boy, y'all are pitiful down here. The first time that I ever seen, when I was a boy, and my dad, my biological dad, was military. My stepdad was military. He taught me, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, pardon me, excuse me. We was never allowed, if we had to wash our hands, comb our hair, and we sit down at the table, and anything we put on our plate, we had to eat it. Amen. You see, any healthy male can father a child, but the real father is one that stays with him. Now, my stepdad, in a lot of ways, was my hero. My grandfather was my hero. In my life, I had a sixth grade school teacher by the name of Joe Tom Edmondson. He was my hero. Can you believe that I had a sixth grade teacher that we was in what they call the steel building, and it had four classrooms, hot as blue blazes, no air conditioning. And there was 30-some students of us in the sixth grade, and I can remember like it was yesterday. He would come in and have every one of us to sit down. He would read a portion of the Bible, and then he'd have prayer with us every morning. And you know what I remember? Is when I'd look up and tears be running down his face. My sixth grade teacher. We lived in a little town called Crab Orchard, Kentucky, population 750. This man was a little short man. He wasn't big in stature. But he came to town every Saturday, and he carried a big coffee table Bible. And this man by the name of Joe Tom Ebbison, my sixth grade teacher, he had a lot of impact, a lot of influence on my life. In fact, when I was a freshman in high school, can you believe that he got me into Berea College? Had all the papers, and all I had to do was sign them. I mean, I could have went on a, had a scholarship. I could have went to Berea College. I'm talking back in, in the late 59 and early 60s. I could have went to Berea College. He'd say, Mel, don't waste your life. He'd say, Mel, put God at the first of your life. Mel, honor God. I hated to see him come to town, but he was my hero. He was my hero in a lot of ways, my grandfather. I can remember he used to wear bibbed overalls. And my granddaddy, I can remember like it was yesterday, on one kneecap was always bleached out. Until one day I went down and my granddad, I know why, he raised me. And my grandfather was on his face and he was calling every one of us out by name. In a stall, in a barn. Hey, some of you probably be burning in hell if that meant somebody loving you and caring for you. I'm talking about he was my hero. He was my role model. My grandpa taught me this. He said, and I still try my best to live by it. Give me a hand, Brother Jay. He'd say, Mel, your word is your bond. How many of y'all remember that? Your word is your bond. You give a man your word, keep your word. He'd say, if your word is no good, you're no good. That's how he raised me. I'm just saying that in a lot of ways, he was my hero. He was my role model. He would tell me there's never no excuse for a man being dishonest. You have to get my age, 65 years, and look back over it and see how much really knowledge they had. Let me tell you another one he'd tell me. He'd say, Mel, you know, used to when I was a boy, right? We step upstairs, and he'd come up and he'd say, come up the stairway, and he'd say, boys, get up! Don't let me have to tell you again. Y'all know he wouldn't live like that. Y'all wouldn't raise like that, was you? Don't let me have to tell you again. If I heard him dragging that rocking chair to the table, it's time to get down to the house, get to the table. And I'm just saying, he taught us to work. He taught us to be honest. I'm talking about a whole, how many of you had somebody like that in your life? Would you raise your hand? A role model or somebody that had a real influence on your life. All right, now watch this. Our day and time, we've got the wrong role models. In Exodus 17, Hur steps on the scene. First time he's ever mentioned in the Bible. And by the way, look in your Bible. He doesn't do a whole lot. All he does is hold up the hands of Moses. I can do that. Watch this now, Hurley. Let me show you. When I was a boy, soldiers and school teachers, like Mr. Edmondson, I still have a lot of admiration for school teachers. If y'all don't say amen, we're going to stay here a long time. When I was a boy, policemen, I wish that policeman was here. They used to, when I was a boy, you were taught to respect people of authority. Policemen, say amen. Your parents, you didn't call your parents old man and old lady. Ain't that pitiful? Say amen. My mom would slap you in 14 worlds, you called her old lady. I used to pray. I used to ask, and I was just a kid, and I'd say, Lord, would you please let my wife, let my mom, Lord, would you please let her mind leave her? She didn't forget nothing. She told you, you're going to get a whooping, you got a whooping. But I'm saying, when I was a boy, the role models, our day and time, it's like Michael Jackson. Ain't that the wrong role model? Michael Jackson. You ain't going to believe this. They was telling me about a school somewhere that the teachers, I want you to listen to this, you ain't going to believe it. The graduation service, everybody came dressed like Michael Jackson. They played the music through the PA system. Wrong role model. Amen. Look at her. All he did was held up the hands of Moses. Look in your Bible, Exodus 17. Boy, begin to put it in mind. Soldier, how about firemen? They lay their lives down. I've got a whole lot of friends that are policemen. I got a whole lot of friends that are firemen. I've got three or four men down in Aiden, North Carolina. They've been on the fire department for 25 and 30 years, and they've laid their lives down time and time again to rescue people. Amen. Then I thought about this when I was a boy, cowboys. The first time in my life that I ever seen a black and white television of nothing but, do y'all remember Superman? Faster than a speeding bullet. Y'all remember that? Leap tall buildings. Faster than a speeding bullet. I thought, man, if he can fly, I can fly. I got my mama's sheet put around my neck, climbed up on the smokehouse, jumped off, about broke both legs, and then mama beat me to death for tearing a sheet up. Never will forget it. I never will forget. I used to go, we'd work in them fields and $4 a day. And I mean, kids, I mean, we'd work $4 and $5 a day, hay fields, put out tobacco, set tobacco, pull weeds out of tobacco plant. But I'm saying, and then we'd go to the show. Movies ain't like they are now when I was a boy. When I was a boy, you had, let's see if I can, Gene Autry. How about Roy Rogers? I'm just naming some of them. Fuzzy Q Jones, Lash LaRue. Y'all think I come in on Noah's Ark, don't you? Tom Mix, that's your good one. But I'm just saying, you could go to the show for a dime. They wasn't sexually. They wasn't like it is now. They didn't show all the bedroom scenes. Amen, sister. Amen. But I'm just saying, back then, how about a man? How many of y'all remember a man by the name of Audie Murphy? Would y'all raise your hand? Audie Murphy. Just a little, he was little in stature, but in years gone by, he used to have a lot of movies. Did you know that Audie Murphy was great? He had the Purple Heart? Did you know that he put out a show or a movie years ago called A Hell and Back, based on his life? But I'm saying, I got in more trouble. This man, I'm going to do it. Are y'all putting this on? I'm going to do it. Don't bother me. This man come down to the house. And he took and retired from UPS. And he's a nice guy. I ain't got a problem in the world. I believe the man's a saved man. But he wanted me, he's a black man, and he wanted me to go to a meeting called Unity of the Community. I said, you want me to do what? He said, I want you to go with me over, and he said, we're going to have a Unity in the Community meeting. And we're going to honor Martin Luther King. I said, I ain't going. Y'all put that on rewind? I said, I ain't going. Well, he said, why? Now look at me for a moment. Check it out. The man by the name of Martin Luther King, I travel all over the country. You see roads that says Martin Luther King Boulevard. Do y'all see any boulevards named after our World War II heroes? How about a man by the name of Jim Thorpe? Nod your head. Men that gave their lives down. World War II. I'm talking about Vietnam veterans, but they don't name streets after them. It don't bother me, boys. I'm going to put it on the radio. What do you mean? I'm saying I'm not going to do it. He's not my hero. And by the way, he's the wrong kind of role model. Whether you like that or not, he's the wrong kind of role model. Did you know that Martin Luther King, and I'm not just popping my gums, did you know that he carried a communist card? Did you know it's a proven fact that he had all kinds of mistresses? And everybody honors him. Oh, shut up, Melvin. Be good. Say amen. If you don't say... Wrong kind of role model. Everybody, they idolize and put these men up there on these pedestals and idolize these people. And by the way, I'll give you another one right quick. A man by the name of John F. Kennedy. Ain't a doubt in my mind that probably he was involved in killing Marilyn Monroe. Not a doubt in my mind. But my point is this, watch this. Everybody, our day and time, we've got the wrong role models. I appreciate these young girls. God knows I do. But I'm telling you, our school girls have the wrong kind of role models. Janet Jackson had her wardrobe malfunction. Y'all believe that, don't you? Shut up, Melvin. A rock star, sports star, Britney Spears. Have I got in more trouble over Britney Spears? Do y'all remember when she was just a little girl? Do y'all remember, anybody remember posters of Britney Spears? I said it, told my wife back then. I know everybody thinks preachers ain't got a lick of sense. She dressed provocative even back then when she was a young girl. And guess what? Our young girls, not all of them, but I'm talking about, they idolized Britney Spears. Look what she done. Amen, citizen. Wrong role model. Hey, I believe with all my heart. Then I thought about this. I thought about Michael Jackson. Another heathen's called P. Diddy. Ain't that a name and a half? You know who I'm talking about. It's got all this, rappers. I hate that music. I hate that music. Rapping and people, and they make them, they pay millions of dollars. I know where I'm at. I'm in Western Kentucky. Hey, look here, and we got baseball stars, football stars, and all these men, and our kids idolize them and want to be like them and buy all this stuff. Amen. Pay them millions of dollars to play a game. Wrong role model. Then I thought about this. I thought about in years gone by, Navajo. Does anybody, do y'all remember the, have you ever seen or read anything on the Navajo Code Talkers? Hey, I admire those men. A lot of people don't know it, but son, they treated them terrible. Because there's Navajo Indian. You see, the Japanese could not break the Navajo language. So they used them to communicate. But what a lot of people don't know is they assigned a Navajo code talker with a unit, and when they went out, and so they had another Navajo with another unit, and so they communicate together, and the Japanese could not break it. But did you know our government treated them terrible? I admire them. I love the Indians. I love them. I believe if there's any group of people in this world that has a right to complain, it ought to be the American Indian. Lord God, we treated them like dirt. Amen. But I'm just trying to, you don't see no streets named after the Navajo code talkers. You don't see no streets Jim Thorpe. You don't see no streets Audie Murphy. But I'm saying, if everybody loves a hero, and they do, I'm just saying, hey, why in the name of heaven don't we get the right kind of hero and the right kind of role model? Let's go back. Look at the book of Exodus. Ready? I'm fixing to give you the introduction. Look in your Bible. He stepped out of nowhere and then just disappears. What did he do? He just stood and held up the hands of Moses. Then I thought about this. He didn't lead any troops into battle. He's just an unsung hero. Boy, I love people. I admire people that's faithful to the Lord. I admire missionaries. Amen. I admire people that stand beside the stuff. Man, they are my kind of hero. What do you mean, preacher? Let's go back and watch it. It doesn't sound like much, but he just held up the hands of this man by the name of Moses. Look in Exodus 17. Well, all right, if everybody loves a hero, Hur's not mentioned only except twice in the whole entire of the Bible, but all he did was hold up the hands of Moses. He just stepped out of nowhere, and guess what it does? Set Moses on a rock and held up one side of his hand. Read your Bible. But we need some heroes in our churches. Well, we need some people that doesn't always like the limelight and have to. I'm a preacher sometimes, so the worst in the world I've ever seen for this in my life. What do you mean, brother, sister? A hero, they're all what I call absolutely invaluable. Thank God for them that tithe. Say amen. Thank God for them that give. Thank God for people that pray. Amen. Thank God for people that are faithful. Amen. They're my heroes. Amen, sister. Now watch this. They go unnoticed. They seem like they're unimportant. I'll show you in a moment. All it says is her just held up the hands of Moses. I thought about why does everybody likes to be loved. Everybody likes to think, I'm special to somebody. Can I tell you something? I am special to the Lord. He loved me so much, he died for me. Amen right there. Glory, thank God. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about this man by the name of Hur, unnoticed, unimportant, unrecognized, unsung hero. Nobody puts a flashing light on her and say, look at him. Amen, sister. I've been on the radio for 26 years of my life, Monday through Friday. In fact, probably, I'm trying to think, four or five stations. And if I told you I did not want those radio broadcasts, you ask my wife. I did not want the responsibility of it. Every week of my life, sitting down and I'm preparing radio mail. I didn't want it. I thought it. I didn't want it. I'm talking about 20 plus years ago. And I sure didn't want the money having to pay those radio bills. I told God, I said, Lord, on my knees, in my study, I said, Lord, I'll never get on the radio. I'll never beg. I will not do that. Say amen. I will not do it. I ain't never done it. Anybody? Radio time ain't cheap, son. All these, but the reason why I'm getting at this, if you knew how many dollar bills that I've got in the mail, dollar bills. Brother Dan, can you believe this? I'm talking about, I've got records to prove this, and I'm not just bragging now, I'm just trying to get you to see how good God's been to me. When I went into evangelism in 1981, I think it's 80 or 81, $75 and $80 back then was a big love offering for a week. $75, $80. I'm telling you the truth. Here I am on the radio, and then one station, then two station, then three station. But what I'm trying to get you to see, I've never missed my radio payment. I ought to make my pacemaker go off. It's about to already. Like an alarm clock, it's fixing to go. But when I think about that, I shout and have a spell. But I'm talking about people that send me a dollar bill, rolled up a dollar bill, widows that I ought to be trying to help them. I'm saying they're my heroes, amen. Help spread the gospel. Every year of my life around Christmas time, I get two or three single dollar bills rolled up in the mail. And they're widow ladies down in McCreary County. And they are 80 plus years old, and they send me $2 or $3 every year and say, keep preaching on hell. Now you won't never, their name won't never be in the sword of the Lord. Their name, nobody put their name out here in neon lights, but you wait till one day when we get to heaven. Hey, you wait till one day. Hey, those that are first is going to be last. Those that's last is going to be first. God's going to say, switch places. Wait and see. I know you don't believe it. What I'm saying is, I was over in New Guinea back in the 90s. We went to New Guinea, stayed there a month, preached every day of my life for 28 days of my life, little old villages. There are preachers there that you'll never meet. They'll never have any kind of recognition. Nobody will ever pat them on the back. I'm talking about bamboo huts. I'm talking about dirt floors. I'm talking about loincloths. I'm talking about, you can't believe it, but I'm saying preachers that pastor 35 and 40 people that just love God, amen. Amen. They're my heroes. Amen, brother, sister. Amen, preacher. I'm going to get me a recorder and play me 19 amens back. Hey, let's go back. It doesn't sound like much. It don't sound like much. Well, I think about people that weep and sob and pray. Hey, have you ever thought about it? Hey, I'm talking about a mom and dad, a grandma or grandpa. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about people that's had an influence in your life. Thank God, they're invaluable, amen. They are in my life. The second thing, write this down for me. They're always involved. Can I show you something? Everybody look at me for a moment. If I ask you, what did Aaron do? Would y'all know what Aaron done? Aaron and her held up the hands of men of God, right? If I ask you, what do in y'all's mind, what sticks out that Aaron done? Do y'all remember when Moses up in the mountain praying? Do y'all remember they come to who? Aaron. Do y'all remember that they made a golden calf? Would y'all nod your head? Well, somebody pray tell me, why didn't they go ask her to do that? Why did they ask Aaron? Because I'll grant you my right leg, Aaron, her wouldn't have done it. Whew, look at y'all's faces. Go back, look in your Bible. We know what Aaron done. We know that God made him ground the golden calf. We know that God made him drink the water after they spread the golden calf on the water and made them drink it. We know that. But her just passes off the scene. He's my hero. Let me show you this and watch it. We know what Aaron did. But boy, I'm telling you with all that's within me. We need some mothers that just love God. We need some daddies that just love God. I need some people in our churches that don't have to have all this recognition. Need some mamas that'll get on their faces again and pray for their children, amen. People that don't have to be in the limelight all the time. People that don't always have to be patted on the back. What do you mean, preacher? Now watch it. Homemakers, hallelujah, thank God. Thank God for homemakers, amen. I've been blessed to the Lord. My wife's never had to work on a public job. My heart goes out to where that women did have to. But our society looks down on homemakers. That's all you do is you just take care of a home. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Some of y'all were just like me. Y'all had an old mom that washed your clothes out on a scrub board. Some of y'all just like me. You had a mom or dad rung about. That's before they ever. I told my wife the other day. I said, honey, you ought to shout. Let me tell you why. You don't have to have iron day like they used to. Wash days on one day. I think Monday was wash day. Tuesday was iron day. They used to have old irons and put them on heat stoves. They did not. And do y'all remember this? I want to see if you remember this. They used to starch the collars so they'd be like boards. I'm telling you, the shirt would stand up by itself. They'd starch him and put creases in the leg. Do y'all remember that? I'm talking about, think about your mom. Think about how they hung your clothes out and wrung your clothes out, have clean clothes and clean the house. Amen. Well, say not important, say amen. My wife, we was talking about Brother Noble and I, Brother Larry. We was talking about a value system. I got them 6 grandkids. Man, they all come home, it's a tribe. I got them 4 granddaughters. Can you believe I got a granddaughter 21 years old? I told that little hormone Harry, I told him, I said, hey boy, don't worry about her daddy, you worry about me. Shoot you, amen. But they come to the house. And my wife is she's a good housekeeper. My wife's a good housekeeper. But when all them grandkids come home, she takes them granddaughters in there and lets them make cookies. I'm going to tell you what she done. I'm going to tell you what kind of wife I'm married to. Dylan, my grandson, he's just little, and Dylan wanted to play in the snow. Mary takes flour and pours it out on the floor. He's got snow. I come in there and I said, what in the name of heaven is that? I said, Dylan wanted to play in the snow. She says, it'll clean up. You'll get this in a minute. It'll clean up. She teaches it. She made all them girls, all my granddaughters, she made them all aprons. They go in there and they learn, they cook. You never seen such a mess in your life. You ought to see our kitchen when them grandkids get out of there. Got them aprons on. Guess what Mary's doing? She's teaching them. She's teaching them life skills. That's what she's doing. Do this in the affirmative. And she says, it'll clean up. And honestly, they just get in there and clean the kitchen up. What I'm saying is, she's teaching her grandkids life skills. Well, I believe this all my heart. The grandkids will never forget their grandmother doing that for them. Had a little grandson of mine. He will never, ever forget his grandma pouring out flour on the floor for him to play in the snow. Say amen. So what I'm saying is, it may seem unimportant, in your life, whatever you're doing. But if you're praying and you're giving and you're witnessing and you're being light to a darkened world, that's important, amen. Don't let the world minimize what you do. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? Would you raise your hand? Flown on an airplane. I'm fixing to get in trouble. I do it all the time. I wade out in deep water every time I do this. It don't bother me. Been there before. If I ask you, okay, I'm going to ask Brother Miss Intellect. Brother Noble, you've flown a lot overseas. What is the most important thing about a plane? What would y'all all say? What? What would you say? What is the most important thing about that plane? Say it again. 99.9% of people, if I say this, they'll say pilot every time. Every time. But watch this. How would you like to get on an airplane that did not have certified mechanics? How would you like to get on an airplane that I've worked on? She said, I get off. But I'm just saying, how would you like to get on an airplane to where nobody ever cleaned it? How'd you like to get on an airplane to where the meteorologist that didn't, that the lab techs that specialize in the skin? I'm saying they're all just as important as the pilot. I got to tell you this, you'll die. If he kills over, we ain't giving him mouth to mouth, he's gone. This preacher, I was down with Brother James down in Shelby, North Carolina, and this man I'm fixing to tell you about, he's a very prominent farmer. He's got, I think he farms like 1,000 acres. And I love Bud Cathy. He's the nicest guy you ever met in your life. And probably got enough money to burn 3 or 4 wet mews. Y'all know what I mean by that? But he won this award. He could go to Las Vegas for 3 days, 3 nights. They're going to have this big convention in Las Vegas. He had never flown an airplane, never been on a plane in his life. But he's got a boy, sis, that's a registered CPA for a bank there in Charlotte. And his name is Horace. And he said, Dad, I'll go with you for 2. So Bud says, all right, I'll go ahead and accept the award. We'll go. Only one condition, you got to fly. Bud said, we got to what? He said, we got to fly. Now, I don't know why he's got all this money, but I don't know why he won't go get his teeth fixed. But he's got 4 or 5 teeth missing right here in front, and he's sitting, he talks to you all the time like this. I'm just telling you. So they had to go to Charlotte. They have to get on a commuter plane. I'm telling you the truth. They got to get on a commuter plane. And then they got to fly to Fayetteville. And then they're going to go from Fayetteville, they're going to fly nonstop to Las Vegas. So Bud, him and Horace, has flown all over the whole country. He's like nobody's been everywhere. So they walk out there. Anybody that's flown a lot, you walk out on this little small plane. So Bud is sort of in the front, and he's walking out through here like this. He's never been on a plane in his life. He walks up them steps, and when he does, he looks to his left, and this, you know the curtain? You ever flown on a little plane? They got a curtain. Is anybody here at all? And right here sits the navigator, and over here's the pilot, and if it's big enough, they got a co-pilot. Now, Bud's never flown an airplane, never been on a plane in his life. He walks up them steps, and he sees this navigator plotting the course. He goes in there and says, don't you think it's a little, don't you think you're cutting it short here, trying to fly, learn how to fly this? Horace said, Daddy, go sit down. Bud goes back there. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Bud goes back there. And so they tell him to put the seat belts on. Bud's never flown an airplane in his life. So Horace is trying, his son is trying to get him hooked up in the seatbelt. And it says up at the top, it says, buckle your seatbelt and all this stuff. So the plane sort of does this the first time. Y'all anybody ever flown? They just sort of, he said, scared them all to death. The pilot and the co-pilot come back there to see what was wrong with him. It hadn't even moved. All it done was lunge. So they get to the, I'm telling you the truth now. Boy, I had a video this week to make a fortune. So they get to Fayetteville. They finally taxi out on the runway, and they go up, and they said that Bud is right around Horse's neck like this. Just like he's holding on for dear life. They get airborne. Horse says, Daddy, turn me loose. So again, they think that something's wrong back here. So here they come again, and it's Bud again. So now then, it's about an hour and a half flight. They gotta fly in. They're gonna touch down. They said that the pilot sort of descended a little too quick. And it sort of done this. Bud jumped up again, screaming and hollering and yelling. They said, "Put him in the seatbelt. Gag him if you have to." So they get now to the big plane, right? Big plane. I'm telling you the truth. He done it. Bud done it. He's big in Cleveland County. Oh, Bud, they said he walks up there in that big old plane. He said, you know how they open the gate up and they call it and you walk out through there and you walk through this ramp? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you walk down through there and you walk inside the plane. Then you turn right and go back there and find your seat. Everybody with me so far? So Bud, he gets back there and he's going through this little that thing that they do to get you on the plane. So here's the door. Instead of him turning right, he turns left, right into the cockpit. And he goes in there and he sees all them instrumentation and all them things. He told that the pilot, said, sir, I don't think you're supposed to be back here. He said, what is your name? This is them guys that got them stripes. He said, are you going to fly this machine? Yes, sir. He said, you show me your license. Honestly. And poor old horse about to die. I mean, Daddy, please go sit down. He said, I want to see this man's license. But the horse said, I ain't never going with him till the day I die. What I'm trying to set all that to say this. Everybody that's involved in a plane is just as important as that pilot. Now, the devil will come to you and say that you're not very important. Your role in what you do is not important, right? Amen. He'll whisper this junk to you, and I'm saying, look at her. Her is an invaluable hero. He's involved. Hey, he holds up the hands of the man of God. We all can pray more. We all can be more kinder, more thoughtful, more compassionate, more forgiving. Could I ask you a question? If you was to die, what would you like to put put on your tombstone? Hey, Brother Lair. If you was to die, what would you like to have put on your tombstone? Have you ever thought about it? Let me hear it. I want to hear this. Is this going to take a long time? He's a thinking. He ain't gave it a lot of thought because he's thinking now. Well, bless your heart. Well, man, bless the Lord. You superseded anything I ever thought. It come from your daddy, didn't it? She knows what I'm kidding. But ain't that great? Did y'all hear what he said? I ought to make him say it again. Have you ever just thought about it? What would you like to have put on your tombstone? Man, it'd be a big tombstone for that. But have you ever thought about it? Have you ever just thought about what you'd like to have put there? Anybody that knows me knows that I love helping people. We went to help this church, 100-plus-year-old building. They're meeting in the church. They're struggling. They're having a terrible time financially. Probably got 45 or 50 people, real poor people, can't hardly make the bills meet. So I told him, I was up there preaching for him for a week. I said, get all the stuff together that you need. And I said, I'll wire this building for you while I'm up here. Boy, it was hot, 100-plus-year-old building outside of Batavia, Ohio. So he had to work that day. And so I got everything wired and was waiting for the inspector to come to hang a tag so we could have electric that night. Hot. So I went around the back of that old building, and I was looking at all these old tombstones. Growed up, weeds growed up over them, Larry. Hadn't been kept. I'm talking about a 150-year-old cemetery. Boy, I got to looking at all them old tombstones. Boy, and I cried like a baby. I pulled the weeds back from this one, and here's what it said. The kindest man I ever knew, my father. Boy, would that not be an epitaph? The kindest man I ever met, my father. Or wouldn't that be good to put on your tombstone? If your son knew that you was the kindest man that he ever met, I'm just saying that we all can be kinder, more thoughtful, more appreciative, more compassionate. But the devil will come to you and say, you'll never amount to nothing. What you're doing does not amount to nothing. Look at her. He's in the Word of God. Absolutely invaluable. Number two, always involved. Number three,
He's behind the scene. First time you'll ever find him mentioned in the Bible. He just lives in the shadows. He lives in the shadows. I can do that. Boy, there's been some men that's cast a shadow for me over the years. I can live in that shadow. I don't see, the Lord keeps perfect records. Say amen. He keeps perfect records. Her just is, he's unnoticed. He's an unsung hero. Nobody recognizes him. Nobody gives him any real notoriety, but won't you watch this? Go with me right quick to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians just for a moment. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in your Bible just for a moment. I'm sorry. What did I say? Chapter 10? Chapter 1, please. He steps out of nowhere and then he just disappears. How many of y'all remember Brother Jim? Miss Kara's... What? Thorpe. Miss Cora's husband. Boy, I liked him. He'd always corner me up back there. He loved to talk. Amen. But, and you have, remember how rough his voice got? How many of y'all remember how rough his voice got? Boy, there's a whole lot of people that I, over the years, that sure been an influence in my life. I never will forget, we went to eat with him, his wife, and he gave me a book. There ain't enough money. You could stack $100 bills in this room, all the way to the ceiling, from one end to the other, and you don't have enough money to buy that book. You know why? He thought enough of me to give me that book. There ain't enough money to buy that book. Every now and then I read that book, and I get to thinking about him. I get to thinking about him. Now, he didn't have a whole lot of notoriety. Boy, he sure was a blessing to me. Betty's brother one time, one that made this right here. I don't forget too much. Ben. I was coming down the parkway years ago, and it cold in January, coming here for a meeting. And on my fifth wheel, I had a skylight right over the bedroom, right over the bed, fifth wheel, camper. It froze so hard and so cold that thing disintegrated. I was up here somewhere around Bowling Green. I looked in my rearview mirror, and my skylight was just going back that way. Well, it got a hole this big in my ceiling. I'll never forget. I pulled here. I was going to start a meeting. And Ben went and found me a piece of plywood and made me a cover to cover that up. And it would not adhere to it. Fixed it. It just got in there. I could fix it, but he said, no, I want to fix it for you. See, I don't forget stuff like that. I'm just saying, look in your Bible. I can try my best to just stand in the shadows. I'd rather die than to dishonor my grandkids. I'd rather fill a premature grave than have one of my grandkids say, "Grandpa, my papa used to preach," or "My papa used to be." I'd rather die. I want to cast as good a shadow as I can for my grandkids. Now watch this. Look in 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 1. Look, if you don't mind, in verse 26, and we'll close. Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." But look in verse 27. "But God has chosen the foolish thing." Did y'all see that? I didn't say that. God says, "I have chosen the foolish thing." You ever feel a little foolish? Now watch this. Then he says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, but God has chosen the weak things. Do you ever feel less like sometimes you're just weak? Do you ever just see people that's had attributes you wished you had? You ever seen somebody that could just walk in a room and it just seems like they light the room up? You ever been around people like that? You ever been around people that, boy, you be, whatever thing was going on in your life and nobody knows it about except you and the Lord. Have you ever been around people that could just seem like lift people up with their personality? There's untold people in my life that has done that for me. Now watch this. He says God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things. Did y'all see that? The base things. Now watch this. Then he says, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why should he do that? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Aaron just steps on the scene. Now watch this. Aaron and Hur, they're in the midst of a battle. Thousands are dying in the book of Exodus. Moses, as long as Moses' hands is up in the air, they win the battle. He's tired. They set him on a stone. Aaron's on one side and Hur's on the other side, and they hold up the hands of the man of God and they whip their enemies. I'm trying to get you to see tonight. And then Hur just passes off the scene. Is he important? Was Hur important? He's so important he's mentioned the Word of God. I'm trying to get you to see that Hur is one of them unsung heroes in the Word of God. Everybody keeps asking me about our camp. One of the joys of my life, I'm talking about in 1975, go back that far. Them kids that came to come to camp, Brother Bradley, when they were juniors, come to junior camp, when we didn't have 35 and 40, I'd preach to them every night. Brother Noah preached to them of a day. Then he'd preach to them of a night, and I'd preach to them of a morning. Them same kids are now, they come to junior camp, then they come to senior camp, and then they come back to family camp. Them same kids in 75 are now grown, got families of their own, and they're coming and sending their kids to junior camp. They're sending their kids to teenage camp. And I meet them kids, and they'll say, Brother Sisson, I remember one time that you preached on left-handed green beans. They'll say, I'm talking about they're adults now. And they'll say, I remember Brother Broughton preaching on Moses when he went up on top of the mountain. See, that's ought to be what we live for. Not money, not material things. Not any more of this world. And we ought to say, God, help me to cast the right kind of shadow, the right kind of influence upon people. Amen, sister. I can do that. I can be a her. I can try my best to let him be my example. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.